Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohannon. With me is Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Man, long time no talk.
Yeah, it's like we don't know what's going on in each other's lives.
just to give you guys a little behind the curtain, Jay is about to go out of town. So this is our third podcast in a row today to record. So we're
Yeah. And I had a client call this morning, so I'm gonna be just a joy of conversation with my in-laws tonight.
Oh, I can't wait. That's awesome. I wish I could be a fly on the wall there. That's awesome.
Lots of talking for the introvert today.
But no, this will kind of transition us into this next thing, which is we just got done recording our two bonus Patreon episodes for this month. So we just recorded our Amazon makeover, product page makeover, and our movie episode about Forrest Gump. So I feel like they were great conversations, and we're really excited to get those out to our patrons. So you can expect those before the end of the month, which is, gosh, just in a couple of days.
Yeah, they'll be up sometime in the next couple of days.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So in saying that, there's no new patrons this week, but thank everyone who is supporting us over there. And if you're interested in checking out these bonus movie episodes and some of the other stuff we're doing over at Patreon, you can just look at thecareerauthor.com. We have all the information there. So, God, I can't believe it's almost April, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. We were starting to bounce ideas back and forth about our Somewhere Book Show talk that we're going to give. And I was thinking like, oh yeah, we got plenty of time. That's not a high priority, but we don't have plenty of time. That's a good thing. I think having restraints on your creativity makes it better. So I'm looking forward to kind of having that event on the horizon and really feeling compelled to do my best on it. So.
And speaking of that event, we can go ahead and mention that here. So if you're interested in coming out to Chicago, the first weekend in May, which is May 4th and 5th, we will be at the Somewhere Book Show Summit. So you can go look at all the details for that. I think I mentioned it was in Chicago at somewherebookshow.com/summit, which all this segues into the next thing. God, this is so, we're on a roll today. It's like we've been podcasting for 3 hours. This is awesome. This is normally the part where we would segment into our Choose Your News segment. But we're not going to do that segment this week. And the reason why is because Jay and I were actually guests on the Sell More Book Show yesterday, or this week, I should say, because it aired today. I'm all messed up.
We recorded it yesterday. So
Absolutely. So we were guests on the Sell More Book Show, and a big chunk of their show, like the main meat part of it, is to talk about this week's news. We filled in for Brian Cohen. So, if you want to hear us talk about five different news stories this week and not just one, on top of some really other good stuff, including Jay talk about a romance book called Rebel Song Cowgirl, which was awesome.
You love my ad read for that.
Dude, your ad read was spot on. It was great. But you can check that out over at somewherebookshow.com, or you can look up Somewhere Book Show on iTunes, Stitcher, all the places where podcasts can be listened to. And we're on episode 208, which is their most recent episode. So that's where, if you are missing the news this week and you're mad at us because we're not going to talk about it, we just didn't want, we know that some of you guys listen to that and that show. So we didn't want to, just bore you with more of the same stuff that we talked about.
Exactly. We'd either have to bore you with things we already talked about or find such an obscure story that you wouldn't care.
Which is what we thought about doing, and then we built on that.
Yeah.
Just to be transparent. So so go check out Somewhere Book Show episode 208, where, like I said, Jay and I talk about the news over there with Jim Cookroll.
There you go.
So with that, we will just go ahead and move into the main topic this week. How's that sound?
That sounds like a plan.
And you're really excited about this topic.
Yeah, it's a bizarre thing to get excited about, which will make sense once we get into the conversation. But yeah, I kind of am excited about it.
So kind of the way that we're wording this is we pose the question to each other, how do you turn off your brain as a creative? Which we figured out really quick whenever we, before we hit record, that can mean a lot of different things, right, Jay?
So yeah, exactly.
So we just kind of wanted to explore that. And, I think, you know, it's kind of for us, you know, we have, there's a lot of different parts, a lot of things going on for us right now. And there's a lot of moving pieces of different things we're working on. So in different areas with books and just a lot of stuff. And so I know a lot of ideas have been flowing and not just like, you know, story plot ideas and character ideas, but like events we want to do and stuff with our publishing company and some different moves, just a lot of stuff. So I think for both of us, it's kind of, it's been hard for us to turn that off lately. And, you know, not think about this stuff when we're sleeping or when we're trying to spend time with our spouses or our children or whatever. So, you know, if anything, this is for us to help each other figure out what the hell we've been doing lately. So I've rambled enough, Jay. I'll let you kind of lead into this conversation since I was kind of rambling there.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give people, sort of a sense of where the idea came from. I think, Zach, maybe a few weeks ago in our Slack channel, I said something to you about like, I'm in this phase now where I'm waking up at like 3 a.m. with like all these really great ideas. Yeah. And I feel like, I should take my own advice because what I've said a lot of times is like, if it's really good, you don't have to write it down. Like it'll keep coming back to you. And I've done that for a long time. I would wake up and have these great ideas and I would talk myself back to sleep and basically say, listen, if it's a really good idea, you'll remember it in the morning. Yeah. And
I've totally subscribed to that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but I'm struggling with that because, as you mentioned, and we're not going to be dicks about it and tease you with all this stuff that might be months in the making. I hate that on podcast. Yeah. So we're not going to do that. But what we are going to say is, we have a lot of irons in the fire. We have a lot of things that we're working on that are not, just story related. So these ideas are not necessarily just about like character or plot or production schedule. Like it's a lot of different things. And what I'm afraid of is if I don't capture some of the ideas, because it might be one of several or a dozen or more, that by the time that comes back around as a priority, that idea will be gone. Yeah. And so I'm struggling with like my cheat on this has been, well, I keep my phone by my bed and I make quick notes on my phone when I wake up, which is probably a worse idea because then I'm activating a screen, which then throws off my circadian rhythm and I have a hard time falling back asleep and I get into this cycle. Now, here's where it gets really complicated for me. And this is why I was talking to you about it in Slack. It's super cool shit. Like it's, you know what I mean? Like yeah, it's not the same as like, if I had a day job and I had a deadline on a project coming up and I was worried about it and I woke up at 3 a.m. and I was thinking about it, like that would piss me off. But this is like,
been there.
Yeah. Like, but this is like really, really cool stuff. It's stuff that I love. It's completely integrated into my life so much so that, I was telling Rachel at one point, I kind of lose track of weekdays and weekends. And I understand that if you're not a full-time author, this is not a problem you have. But I do believe that not being able to turn your creative brain off is probably something all creatives go through.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
And I think my problem, and maybe this is where you can kind of share your angle. My problem is like, do I really want to? Hmm. You know, like... I get up at 3 a.m. sometimes and I have these ideas and I capture them and then I go back to sleep and like, all right, you know, like, is it, is that a bad thing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good point, man. I mean, you know, cause I'm right there with you. Like it's, you know, I wake up like really excited about what we're doing, you know, and wake up, you know, excited to dive into these stories that we're telling and some of the other things that we're doing. And so, yeah, it's hard, man. Like and I'm right there with you. Like I'll wake up and open my phone and jot stuff down. And I don't know how good that is, you know? And, mm-hmm. And at the same time, like like I mentioned earlier, I've subscribed to the exact same notion you have of like, you know, oh, if it's an idea that's worth remembering, then you won't forget it and you'll remember it later. But I'm kind of with you to where I'm like, man, like I've had instances where like maybe I didn't forget the whole idea, but I've forgotten like little quick thoughts I thought about it that really mattered. Yeah. And I get pissed. I'm like, oh man, I forgot this one little detail because my brain is moving 100 miles per hour, but there was this one little thing I thought of and then I forgot it. Yeah. So I've been trying to get a little bit better about like, you know, keeping a document like an Evernote, mm-hmm. where I can jot that stuff down and then address it later. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah. And you know, it's too, what's really fascinating about this, and this is the Career Author Podcast. So, the assumption is that if you're listening, you're a career author, you want to be. So I feel confident in saying this, like, and this is not I'm not placing judgment, but it's different than having like a 9-to-5 desk job or bank teller job. Like you might wake up worried about something, but it's probably a very specific short-term thing, you know, like it's not, you're not going to wake up in the middle of the night with like, oh my God, I got the new process for deposits. Like this is going to change the whole bank. Like, you know, I don't think that kind of stuff happens unless you're in a creative field. And even if you're doing creative work part-time or on weekends, I'm sure that people are finding themselves in this situation where they're waking up in the middle of the night. And so what I want to do is kind of also talk about the other side of this conversation, which is like, what about the conscious hours? And I think this is where you were thinking, and I'd like to hear your input on this. Like, what if you can't shut your brain off and it's, you know, 6 p.m. and the family's waiting to have dinner and you're like screaming from the other room, like, hold on 10 more minutes. And like, what's your struggle there? How do you cope with that?
Well, it's interesting. Like, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that, cause you kind of brought up like, you know, it's that it's hard to separate weekends from weekdays and stuff. And I think, almost by circumstance, I think that my boundaries are a little bit stricter than yours. Just, you know, cause the big reason being like, you know, you have older kids and that makes a big difference.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I have the situation where, you know, my wife works on the weekends during the day. So like I have to like working weekends is like out of the question for me. So, other than a little bit of time Sunday morning, where I do get to get a little bit of work in, but other than that, like Saturday is like an off day for me. And I've really protected that really well. Like I could have, you know, there's days where like I could come and like when my wife gets home like 4 or 5 o'clock, like I could, you know, say, hey, I'm gonna go work for like an hour. But like I've set those boundaries to where like I'm gonna give myself that day off and not actually sit down and do work. Now it is difficult though to like not be thinking about stuff that I like open loops. Like, and when I say open loops, it's like open loops in the story and open loops in on my to-do list.
Right.
It was harder at first than it is now because like I've kind of gotten used to the boundaries. Uh-huh. But you know, my wife and I have put together some pretty understanding boundaries. Like she understands that she can't come into my office at 9:30 in the morning and want to talk about like, hey, you know, let's talk about like where we're going to go on vacation next year, because like that is the kind of thing that like takes up way too much of my willpower and mental energy and will totally ruin my creative flow. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like when I quote unquote punch out for the day and it's like time for me to go be a dad and be a husband, like she expects me to, like, you know, not be answering my emails. Like, right. And I've put things in place to make sure that stuff doesn't happen.
Right.
And don't check on my, you know, don't be doing all these different things. Like I need to be there and be present with them. And I want to do that.
Right.
So like we put in some pretty, pretty defined boundaries that have definitely helped me a lot. But I mean, when we have a lot of stuff going on, like we do now, it is easy to feel like really overwhelmed and be thinking like, you know, cause like there's been times where like I wake up and we're just working on like one story. And so like, I wake up and I'm like, okay, I know I need to do this story. I need to do a little bit of marketing stuff in the afternoon, but like, it's a little more overwhelming when you have a lot of moving parts going on. And
yeah,
it gives me a lot more to think about in those times. So like I have to really just kind of like, again, just respect those boundaries that are in place and like, understand like, hey, like, I need to be present with them. Now, again, still hard to turn the brain off, which is kind of the conversation here. But what you sound like you want to add something to that though.
No, I agree with that. And, I'm definitely, you know, my kids are older. But I also, they were much younger when I first started this and I had a full-time job and I struggled. And, you know, it's a different struggle now. Like I wasn't able to turn my brain off before when I had the day job and they were younger, because I was always thinking like all the stuff that was waiting for me that I really wanted to do that was pertaining to my author business that I had to wait. And I was forcing myself to wait, and it caused a different type of brain activity than what I'm having now. It's like what I'm having now is like genuine excitement. And that's like, that's almost worse in a way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our friend Joanna talks about this all the time. You know, she doesn't have children, but she has this perspective where since she's become a full-time author, like it's just her life. Like she doesn't make a distinction between work and play. It's just kind of all the same thing. But she also is a workaholic, and she said that. And she knows that she has to like disconnect and remove herself at times, because even though it's creative and it's exciting, it's not healthy to be, you know, going at that pace all the time.
Yeah.
So there's two things I wanted to mention regarding this. The first one is sort of a more of a philosophy, but the second one I want to talk about first is like practical steps. And one of the things I've done, and this might be different for other people, but prior to like doing anything, I am not a guy who is big on like Instagram. I'm not a big texter. Like, my wife and my kids all have phones, and we only text each other when like it's absolutely necessary or there's an emergency. Like my wife is never texting me like, "Hey, what's up?" You know? And I don't text with my friends. Like it's just not. You're a little younger, you might be different, but like texting has never been an issue for me. So on my phone, the big issue for me is email. I found myself refreshing or looking at my inbox on my phone constantly. Yeah. And I felt like that was my cheat, so that if I was out being a dad, I could still kind of keep my pulse on my business by just glancing at my inbox. And about 2 weeks ago, I took email off my phone. So basically now, the only thing on my phone, and I didn't have social media on it, I'm not a big texting guy, so the only thing on my phone right now is our Slack. And I found that has tremendously shifted and changed my attitude in a positive way when I'm away from work, because I'm not reaching into my pocket, I'm not flicking at the screen all the time. And I don't know, like that might be different for everyone. It could be texting for some people. And I don't know how you would turn off your texts on a phone other than go in airplane mode. Like that's a little more complicated than just not having email on your phone. But I'm wondering if you've done anything. I mean, I know you have, but if you could talk about sort of what you've done with your phone.
Yeah. So first off, I just texted you, "Hey, what's up?" Just so you know. Not Slack.
Well, it's on airplane mode, so I won't see it.
So, Yeah. So one thing, as far as the last part about turning off text, the one thing you can do if you have a hip cool iPhone, there's nice. A mode called Do Not Disturb you can use. And basically like it won't alert me of text or anything like that. It even does a thing where when you're driving, it will automatically text people and tell them that you're driving and to leave them alone, which is really cool. And that everyone who has an iPhone should turn that on, because you don't need to be texting if you're driving. But basically, like if someone in your emergency contacts calls you, then it'll ring.
Okay.
So I use that like all day when I'm riding. So basically, like my wife knows, like if she really needs to get a hold of me, don't text me, call me. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I definitely have put some steps in place, and you know that I did I've done the social media email one a little bit ago,
right.
And you also know that like I've partly had a struggle with the email one, that I've kind of been open with you, because I didn't completely remove email from my phone, because for reasons that are here nor there, I do like to have my personal email on my phone, and unfortunately, it's really, but at the same time, I need to have my work email logged in on my phone to do certain things, like look at my calendar when I need to, or look at Google Drive. Like there are some things I need on my phone that are work related that I need to be logged in that account for. So in saying all that, on the Gmail app, at least on the iPhone, it's super easy to click this thing that says manage accounts and then click over and like your account shows up and you can just turn it on real quick. So yeah. Like I subconsciously struggle with like still clicking that button every now and then.
Right.
I've gotten better about it, but it still has happened. Kind of the way I've kind of gotten around that, and it has helped, is I've taken my email off the main screen on my phone and moved it into a folder where I actually have to go dig for it.
Yeah.
I can't just subconsciously like pick up my phone when I'm not doing anything and just the mail app is right there and I just click on it.
Yep.
So in saying that, I want to give a little shout out to one of our mutual buddies, Kevin Tomlinson.
Yes.
And Kevin put this thing up the other day and, on Facebook, which I did happen to see, which that's another thing I'm doing. I'm doing our little trick we talked about where I only look at notifications.
Right.
But I do occasionally click over and look at my wall on either on purpose or an accident, which I always regret. but in this case, I don't, because Kevin put up a thing where he said that he was going to do a challenge where he put every single app in his phone in one folder. And every time he needed an app, he'd go into that folder, he'd open it, and then he would pull it out of that folder. And after 30 days, and he was going to name the folder with the date he did that. And after 30 days, everything that's left in that folder, he would just delete without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't need it after 30 days, you don't need it. So
right.
I love that idea. And so what I did, and like I actually just went ahead and said, okay, screw 30 days. On the iPhone, you can also go in and you can look at all your apps, and it tells you the last time you opened them.
Uh-huh.
And I started, I said, okay, I'm going to go look at all my apps, and every app I haven't opened in 3 months, I'm going to delete.
Yeah.
So I did that. There were some apps I'd never opened.
Right.
On my phone. And then I even went through on another level and I said, okay, what on here do I really not need? If I'm being honest with myself, am I ever going to use this?
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I got my phone trimmed down to like necessities where there's like almost no reason for me to pick up my phone and piddle.
Right.
Like, so, and it's been awesome. Like my everything is organized better, which I'm a freak about that, which I know, you know, from being in our Google Drive folder that I have to have a folder and I have to have everything organized or I go nuts.
Yep.
Spreadsheets, all that shit. And I want to thank Kevin for that tip, because it was just like a really like thing where I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. You know?
Yep.
And so that's definitely helped a lot. You know, I think another thing, and this might be going on a whole other level, but I know that you're a huge fan of this and you're going to love that I brought this up. But I also try to do things like, I try to have systems in place where I don't have to make a lot of decisions.
Yes.
Which really helps with cramping up your mental state. So what I mean by that is like, When I was working a day job, especially, it's not as relevant now because I just roll out of bed and come to my office, but like I'd always have my clothes ready the night before. I'd always have a bag ready with anything I need to take to work. If I was going to the gym, my gym bag was ready the night before. That way, the next morning, I have less decisions to make.
Yes.
And I do that now. Like I pretty much eat the same thing for breakfast every day because it's one less decision.
Yep.
And doing all that kind of stuff will like open up your mind to where like when those creative thoughts come, you're turning off all the other shit that you shouldn't have to be worrying about.
Yeah.
It's going to stress you out more and like make you feel overwhelmed and like, oh, I got all these thoughts coming, but I got to get rid of like, you know, to-do lists are great for that. Like all stuff, but like given having to make less decisions is like the last thing I do every day is decide what I'm going to work on the next day.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to, so when I wake up next morning, I don't have to sit down and go, okay, what do I need to get done today? I've already decided the day before I can just get going on it.
Yep. Yep.
That was a long winded stuff there, but, to talk about apps on a phone, but
no, but, it's incredibly relevant. And, I'm going to even take this a step further because this is brand new. I heard one of my favorite authors, people in the world is Daniel Pink. And he was on the Tim Ferriss podcast recently. He's got a new book out called When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. And what he was talking about on Ferriss's podcast is the gist of the book is, which just came out in January of 2018, less than 2 months ago. He is basically saying that that sort of mental tasks break down into three different types, and across many, many scientific studies and across a lot of data, there are generally speaking times of the day that are best suited for those three types. And I can't remember exactly what they are, and I'm not going to be able to explain it as well as Pink. But basically what he said was like, for most people, excluding night owls, but for most people, like the morning is the time where you do like the straight ahead linear work. So that's why a lot of writers get up and write first thing in the morning. It's the kind of straight ahead, plow through, get that sort of shot of completion on something. And that's usually towards the beginning of the day. And then you have the middle of the day, which is more about like that's the optimal time for like brainstorming and mind mapping and like big idea generation. And then to your point about decision fatigue, the afternoon is best reserved for like administrative tasks. And that's basically like that's the secrets of perfect timing. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe if I start sort of being more intentional with that, I won't wake up at 3 a.m. like reaching for a notebook, you know, like maybe if I try to align my mental activities with what the research says is the best timing for it. And it's so new, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm wondering if you think that's worth a shot too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's sciences behind all that different stuff, you know, you know, same thing with like, you know, with health stuff, like with exercise, you know, like, you know, most people, you should get that out of the way early, like first thing in the morning, because, you know, you're going to, by the end of the day, when you get off work and you're tired, you're going to be less likely to want to go because you don't have the willpower.
Yes.
if you get it out of the way early and you exercise first thing in the morning, then you've already got out of the way, you feel good. And it's also going to impact your decisions the rest of the day. Like as far as what you eat and all that kind of stuff, like there's plenty of science behind that. And I lost 100 pounds a couple years ago doing that. So it's like, it's totally there. So, I mean, I definitely think there's things you could do to, you know, as you mentioned, like to be more intentional on those types of things. But at the same time, it's not going to stop you. I don't know if that's ever going to like totally stop you from waking up with those ideas.
No, like, it probably won't.
I know you all enough to just know that's how you're built. Like I know that at least once a month, you're going to come to me and go, I got this crazy idea. Just listen. It's nuts. You're going to think I'm crazy. But, and then when you tell me, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's cool. That sounds good. You know, like happens all the time. Like it's just who you are. So, you're never going to fully turn that off. And I think that's kind of a hopeless journey, but there, like you said, there are definitely things you can do to, you know, help kind of alleviate that a little bit and get rid of like having to think about other things that are taking up real estate when you're trying to like work through those thoughts and all that.
Right. So, right. Yeah. And I do the same stuff that you do. Like for other reasons, like I know exactly what I'm going to eat every meal. I know exactly what I'm going to wear. Like I remove all of those low level decisions and people like that might sound really boring or like,
yeah,
strange or robotic, but I want to save my finite decision-making resources for the shit that really matters. And what I'm having for lunch doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. And when I was, you know, doing like when I was going through the whole weight loss thing and all that, like people would always ask, like, oh man, like, you know, I just don't have time to, you know, how do you make that lunch every day? You're eating, you know, it's like, well, I do it all on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like I take 2 hours on Sunday and I cook all my meals for the week and then I don't have to think about it.
Right.
I can worry about other stuff. And then there's no excuse for me to say, oh, I had to run out for lunch and get Wendy's because I didn't have time last night to make my food. Well, okay, then make it when you do have, like, make the time to do it. Or, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah,
there's a lot of that kind of stuff that can be applied to, you know, to make sure we're getting the work done that matters.
Yes.
And the work that matters to you. And then, you know, while also like leaving plenty of mental real estate for the stuff that really matters, which in our case is our families, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right. which our work comes secondary to.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It might be a close second for you more than me. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. So, yeah. Good stuff.
Great. Well, that was a pretty interesting conversation, I think.
It was. It kind of went a bunch of different directions. So hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like the idea of mixing up the topics a little bit so that we're, you know, we're talking about some, you know, really relevant things that are happening in the industry and on the platforms. But we also have these moments where we can talk about sort of, you know, bigger ideas and go a little meta. So that was cool.
Absolutely. And, just so everyone knows, like the Daniel Pink book that Jay was talking about, I'll have that in the show notes. I'll go look it up, and I also will link to his episode on the Tim Ferriss podcast, which I have not listened to yet, but I definitely I saw it and I was like, oh man, that looks interesting.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a really good episode. Yeah.
So I'll link to that here too, because cool. I'm really looking forward to listen to that. So, well, cool. Well, I guess that's all we got for this week then. So, you know, yeah, here's our call to action. Remember last week, everybody? So go check out just one more reminder, go check out the Sell More Books Show Summit. Again, we're kind of getting low on time. If you're thinking about going, you know, I know from having traveled for work at my old job a lot, I can tell you once you get like 4 weeks out, like flights really go up and start getting a lot more expensive. So
yes.
So look into that, sellmorebookshow.com/summit. You can check out everything we're doing at thecareerauthor.com. And if you like what you're hearing, go tell all your friends about it. You got author friends, you in Facebook groups. I said you in Facebook groups. Or if you're in Facebook groups, you know, whatever, you know, you email with your other authors, you know, tell them about the Career Author podcast, so they can come over here and check us out and hopefully get some information that'll be useful. Right, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to break my own rule here very quickly and just make a small little request. It would be really cool if we had enough reviews on iTunes that it showed our average.
Oh, I haven't even looked at that.
Yeah, like we don't really care about the iTunes reviews, honestly. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but like, it would be cool just to show an average. So, if you're up for doing two calls to action, you don't mind clicking a star in iTunes, we'd appreciate that.
You're making me want to put a third call to action in here. Like, ask people to comment or something. Like, how do you turn your brain off, you know? But people are just gonna panic and run away and do nothing. So
that's right, not gonna do anything for us. Now
I'm gonna sit here and refresh our iTunes reviews, which I've never even looked at.
Well, I happened to notice it the other day, and I was like, oh, we got a couple, and I'm like, we don't have an average. like, I should probably care about that, I guess.
We're so lame, we're not even average.
Yeah, we're not even average.
Not even average. Well, all right. Well, let's get off here and leave all these crazy people alone. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan until next week, right?
Until next week when we will come back. And maybe next week, Brian Cohen will show up on his podcast and we won't have to fill in for his shoes and we can actually talk about news on our show.
Thanks, okay? Brian, whatever you were doing.
So with that, this is the Career Out There podcast. I'm Jay Thorne. That's Zach Bohannon. We'll see you guys later.